Welcome to the show. If you've been following me for any length of time, you know that I frequently share the truth of the income tax. That truth being, Congress has never imposed it on ordinary, hardworking Americans like you. Of course, I never just say that. I back it up with solid, indisputable facts. Despite my doing that, it recently occurred to me I have never shared with you the mechanism, the legal chicanery the government uses to protect the scam. I'm talking about things the government does internally with the premeditated goal of keeping the truth from ever coming before a court. Today, I'm going to reveal that chicanery, and you will then understand that the entire enterprise has been designed from the ground up to scam you and keep what the law really says away from the courts.
The Dr. Reality Vodcast with Dave Champion.
Let's start with this. I'm the author of Income Tax Shattering the Myths, the best-selling book in America that tells my countrymen the truth about the income tax, and I haven't filed an income tax return or paid a penny of income tax in 31 years. Let's consider a few facts. I haven't filed or paid in 31 years. I wrote the best-selling book in the country on the subject. The U.S. Department of Justice acknowledged almost 15 years ago that it owns a copy of Income Tax Shattering the Myths. I speak on the topic nationally. And here I sit. How is it that I have a great life, earn a good living, and there have been no ramifications from the government? In most of the presentations in which I discuss the government's income tax scam, I get into the nitty-gritty of what the law really says regarding upon whom the income tax has been imposed and, by association, upon whom it has not. Today, I'm not going to do that. If you haven't read Income Tax Shattering the Myths or consumed my previous presentations, today I'm going to ask you to take my word that the income tax has never been imposed on you. If you give me the benefit of the doubt on that for just this presentation, you'll be floored at what you discover. Of course, beyond today's presentation, I do not want you to take my word for it. I want you to see the mountains of incontestable evidence for yourself by reading Income Tax Shattering the Myths. Now, let's get into three major things the government has knowingly, willfully, and intentionally designed to keep you in bondage due to ignorance while ensuring the truth won't come before a court. You're going to want to stick with me until we get to number three because it will absolutely blow your mind. Although income tax criminal prosecutions are way down from a couple of decades ago, the most common prosecution remains the one based on 26 U.S.C. 7203 entitled Willful Failure to File, and reads in its relevant part as follows. Any person required under this title to pay any estimated tax, or required by this title or by regulations made under authority thereof to make a return, keep any records, or supply any information who willfully fails to pay such estimated tax, make such return, keep such records, or supply such information at the time or times required by law or regulation shall, in addition to other penalties provided by law, be guilty of a misdemeanor. Perhaps you notice that the charge is not failure to file, but rather willful failure to file. And the language of the statute makes it clear that a necessary element of the crime is that the defendant acted willfully. So, what does willful mean in law? It means the person knew he or she was under a legal duty to do a thing, and knowing he or she was under that legal duty failed to do the thing required. Another thing you may have noticed is that the statute says this: any person required under this title to make a return. Since this is a criminal case, the government carries the burden of proof to prove every element of the crime, right? And it's obvious that one of the elements is the defendant must be, quote, a person required to make a return. So the government bears the burden to prove the defendant is a person required, right? Not so fast there, Skippy, because decades ago, the government implemented the mechanism that allows it to escape that burden. People who have been watching tax trials for years already know that the federal courts don't require the government to prove that element of the crime in willful failure to file trials. But how can that be, since being the person required is clearly an element of the offense? What gives? Because Congress has never imposed the income tax on ordinary Americans, there is no way the government can meet the burden to prove the defendant is a person required to file a return. It is a legal impossibility. Here's how the government gets around that. To understand the con that's being run on the American people, we need to go back to the fact that the statute says the defendant must have acted willfully, which requires the government to prove the defendant knew he or she was under a duty to file. Phrased another way, it means that to get a conviction, the government must show the defendant knew he or she was a person required to file. In other words, the government is alleviated of the burden to show the defendant was a person required because the burden is shifted to merely showing the defendant knew he or she was a person required. Stated differently, when the government presents evidence the defendant considered him or herself a person required, the government then need not prove the requirement to file exists in law. In short, by adding willfulness as an element of the offense, the government made itself immune from ever having to prove Congress imposed the tax on the defendant. How slippery is that? Now that we know the slimy game the government is playing, how does the government convince a jury the defendant knew he or she was a person required to file a return? Before I answer that, keep in mind, probably more than 99% of willful failure to file prosecutions are of ordinary citizens who think they do owe the tax. Accordingly, they have a prolific history of filing 1040s and/or 1120s, as well as signing forms such as W-4s and W-9s. The government introduces those signed documents to show the jury that the defendant was a full participant in the income tax system. The first thing you want to do, or not do, to avoid any chance of being prosecuted for willful failure to file is do your damnedest to never sign any tax form. That said, we live in a nation in which nearly everyone has bought into the government's bullshit concerning the income tax, and they are all too willing to screw you over if you show them the law and ask them to comply with it. Think about that. Your fellow Americans will actively try to screw you when you ask them to comply with the law. That's about as un-American as it gets. If, due to the un-American conduct of your fellow citizens, you find you must sign tax forms in order to earn a living, you will want to establish and maintain an evidentiary record showing the tax forms were signed after you provided the other party with the law, they chose to violate the law, and then threatened to impose an adverse consequence upon you if you stood upon the law. If you'd like to know more about that, you can email me at dave@drreality.news. Before I get into the second example of how the government scams the American people and keeps the actual law from coming before a court, please take a moment to subscribe to the channel, hit the like button so the algorithms will show this video to more people. Thank you. The next tactic we're going to discuss is how the government brings a charge against a person for tax evasion, which is a felony. In case you were wondering, yes, willfulness is an element of tax evasion also, so the only burden upon the government is to show the jury that the defendant knew he or she owed the money to the government and took illegal steps to prevent the government from acquiring the money. But there is another twist when it comes to tax evasion. It's the meaning of the word person. Let's step away from tax evasion for a moment and consider the definition of person as Congress has applied it to the entire tax code. We find the general definition of person at 26 U.S.C. 7701A1, and it reads, "The term person shall be construed to mean and include an individual, a trust, estate, partnership, association, company, or corporation." That's pretty clear. It means humans and all legal entities. With that said, do you know Congress can provide a definition that applies generally across the entire tax code, but then provide a different definition of the very same word for just a part of the code? With that in mind, let's go to 26 U.S.C. 7201, the tax evasion statute, which begins with these words. Any person who willfully attempts in any manner to evade or defeat any tax imposed by this title, blah, blah, blah. You should know that person has been redefined just for Chapter 75 of the Code, which includes the evasion statute. You can see that right here, that the tax evasion statute, 7201, is within Chapter 75. You can also see that the redefining of person is also within Chapter 75 and reads, the term person, as used in this chapter, includes an officer or employee of a corporation or a member or employee of a partnership who, as such officer, employee, or member, is under a duty to perform the act in respect of which the violation occurs. You may have noticed the definition uses the word includes. I've covered the meaning of includes in tax law in so many previous presentations. I'm not going to do it again today. I'll simply say the words appearing after includes create a category, and things that can reasonably fit within that category are considered a part of the definition, even though not enumerated. So what is the category created by the enumerated items? To find out, let's read the definition again. The term person, as used in this chapter, includes an officer or employee of a corporation or a member or employee of a partnership who, as such officer, employee, or member, is under a duty to perform the act in respect of which the violation occurs. Let's break that down. The enumerated items are the following: an officer or employee of a corporation, a member or employee of a partnership. Such officers, members, or employees must have been required to perform the act that was not performed. That obviously isn't the ordinary hardworking American. In fact, in terms of income tax, I'll go further and tell you that those are officers, members, or employees of foreign corporations or foreign partnerships with U.S. source income, or domestic corporations or partnerships that receive U.S. source income belonging to foreign persons. To understand why the definition is limited to just those persons, read Income Tax Shattering the Myths. Now, let's get on to what may be the most mind-blowing part of the U.S. government's income tax scam. Keeping in mind that Congress has never imposed the income tax on ordinary, hardworking Americans, consider this. What do you think the U.S. Supreme Court would say if a legal challenge was mounted asserting that the United States government has been receiving trillions of dollars a year from Americans who believe they are paying a tax, when the Treasury Department is well aware there is no such tax upon the hundreds of millions of Americans sending in their money? I believe it's a virtual certainty SCOTUS would rule the government has no constitutional authority to accept tax payments from people for whom the tax does not exist. Phrased another way, I believe SCOTUS would rule that if Americans are sending the government tax payments, not because they owe any tax, but simply because they are confused about who owes the tax, and the government knows that, the government is not permitted to keep the money. In other words, while the federal government certainly does have the power to levy taxes, the Constitution does not grant it the authority to accept money submitted to pay taxes when no such tax exists concerning those who are paying it. But what if Congress passed a statute in which they gave themselves the power to magically convert erroneously paid taxes into something the person making the payment never intended? To say such a thing would be incredibly shady would be perhaps an all-time understatement. So we know Congress didn't do that, right? Allow me to now take you to Title 31 of the United States Code, Section 321, entitled General Authority of the Secretary, which is referring to the Secretary of the Treasury. If we scroll down to subsection D1, it reads, quote, The Secretary of the Treasury may accept, hold, administer, and use gifts and bequests of property, both real and personal, for the purpose of aiding or facilitating the work of the Department of the Treasury. So far, so good. It merely states the United States government can accept gifts when sent to the Secretary of the Treasury. Cool. Nothing nefarious about that. Now, let's scroll down a wee bit further to D2, which reads, for the purpose of the federal income, estate, and gift taxes, property accepted under paragraph 1 shall be considered as a gift or bequest to or for the use of the United States. Say what? Congress has transmuted your tax payment into a gift to the United States government. On dictionary.com, the first three words of the definition of gift are something given voluntarily. Since when are taxes voluntary? Furthermore, Congress hasn't proclaimed all taxes are actually gifts, only income, estate, and gift tax. Think about that. Out of the more than 200 taxes levied by the federal government, Congress has only converted income tax from the payment of a tax into you giving the government a gift. I'm leaving estate and gift tax out for the point of today's discussion. Here's the thing. The money you send to the IRS is either a tax or a gift. It can't be both because a tax and a gift are mutually exclusive. There are only two explanations for 321D2. One is that what I've been telling you for 25 years, Congress has never imposed the income tax on ordinary Americans like you, is absolutely true. So what is the other explanation? To help answer that, I'm going to ask you to do something. When I ask you to, I want you to speak the words aloud that come to mind. Are you ready? Okay. Explain to yourself any reason that out of more than 200 federal taxes, Congress has statutorily transmuted only your income tax payments into you giving the government a gift. Go ahead, say it out loud. I'll wait. The point of that little exercise was to illustrate there is not another reason, is there? The only thing that explains the existence of 321D2 is what I've been telling you for 25 years, that Congress never imposed the income tax on ordinary Americans like you. The fact that the U.S. government felt they needed to enact 321D2 is one of the most self-damning things I've seen in a very long time. So, why did the government enact 321D2? Simple. If the government is ever brought into court with the argument that it has knowingly and intentionally been accepting tax payments from hundreds of millions of Americans it knows don't owe the tax, it will point to 321D2 and say, we haven't done anything wrong. The fact that their payments are actually gifts is right there in the law. If they didn't read the law, that's on them. Our hands are clean. Oh, Jesus. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story said this about fraud. An actual or positive fraud is the intentional and successful employment of any cunning, deception, or artifice used to circumvent, cheat, or deceive another. Is there anyone who doubts the government's 60 years of disinformation and propaganda about who owes the tax, subtly shifting the burden of proof away from having to prove the imposition of the tax, and enacting 321D2 doesn't fulfill Story's definition of fraud and deception? So how do you safely walk away from what Joseph Story would have labeled fraud and what I refer to simply as the government's income tax scam? The first step is to read Income Tax Shattering the Myths, which over the years many people have referred to as the Bible for learning and understanding the truth about the income tax. I think some folks might imagine Income Tax Shattering the Myths is a tough read because of the subject matter. Not so. I intentionally wrote it in a way that every American can readily understand. While it presents all the evidence anyone could ever want to understand the trickery that the U.S. government has played on the American people, the evidence is laid out in a very linear fashion. Each item of law or history lays foundation for the next item of law or history. Not only that, but any legalese used in the statutes or court decisions is broken down into plain English for you. I just mentioned items of history. We need to remember that the origin of the income tax scam was enacted so long ago that for some of you, your great-grandparents weren't born yet. One of the fun things to see is that the scam has been the same since the day it was enacted 111 years ago. It's kind of cool to see that the regulations adopted in 1913 use the same language as the regulations today, because the fraud can only be maintained by using very specific wording. Change the wording and the scam falls apart. I decode all of that for you in Income Tax Shattering the Myths and make it so easy to understand. You can get your copy of Income Tax Shattering the Myths at drreality.news, drreality.news. While you're there, take a look at body science. If you want an evidence-based breakdown of how your body's physiology actually works, rather than the false establishment narrative Americans have been fed for 60 years, pick up a copy of Body Science. You may have noticed that the health of the American people is a disaster. 70% of our population is overweight or obese. Diseases like diabetes and Alzheimer's are exploding. Obesity in children, which was almost unknown a few decades ago, is now commonplace. Due to trillion-dollar industries pouring money into bogus research, fake science is everywhere. Corrupt studies are making the absurd claims, such as that things like salt are causing type 2 diabetes. In short, America's health is in the crapper and getting worse every day because trillion-dollar industries and the U.S. government have engaged in massive disinformation. Body Science shows you that process, shows you the disinformation, and then reveals what has been hidden from you about human physiology for decades. The disinformation started in the early 1960s, so it's likely you've been inundated with their disinformation your entire life. That disinformation has led the people of the wealthiest and most technologically advanced nation on Earth to be the sickest people in all of human history. Here's the bottom line. If you read Body Science and put into action what you find there, you will leave the ranks of the misled and sick and become astoundingly healthy. Body Science is one of those books that's difficult to explain because you really can't appreciate how different it is, how groundbreaking it is, until you read it for yourself, which is why it is a money-back guarantee. I also practice what I preach. I adhere to everything you'll find in Body Science. At 65 years old, I'm as healthy as when I was a teenager. Body Science has never gotten anything less than a 5-star rating, and readers rave about looking and feeling decades younger after putting into action what they discovered in Body Science. So go to drreality.news, pick up a copy of Income Tax Shattering the Myths and Body Science. They will be two of the most fascinating books you ever read. You have my word on that. Also, by purchasing Income Tax Shattering the Myths and or Body Science, you help me to continue to be here for you with these revealing and thought-provoking presentations. Please share this presentation everywhere, and thank you for being here. Take care.